Welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. I am Brandon, and I'm here with my co-host, Josh.
Hello, Brandon. How are you?
I'm fine. Now, Josh, be honest. How are you feeling?
You know, we were just talking about this before the podcast. I was trying to explain to you how, you know, in the apartment, you know, my wife often has to hear me complain about how, like, this week is, like, the worst week ever, and it's always really hyperbolic because it's like the early, it's like Saturday morning early game, and like I lost my clean sheet or something, right? And I'm like, oh, like everything's going to hell.
Sure, I remember sitting on your couch late last season, and I think it was Joe Hart saved a penalty kick, and the guy you were head to head with had Joe Hart, and you jumped up and screamed, "That's it, the season's over."
Well, it was, you know, it was a little more complicated than that, I believe. I believe it was Scott Murray had a penalty kick saved by Simone Mignolet, who the guy I was playing it head-to-head had. And yeah,
see, it's burned. It's so burned into your memory.
I know. And I even beat him and won the league. You'd think I'd be over it, but I can't let this stuff go. But I have actually had literally the worst week. I mean, this is my fifth year in the Fantasy Premier League, right? So, like, and I'm acknowledging that I can be hyperbolic. I know this, but it is the worst week I have ever had. And in, say, 38 weeks times four, so 76, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
140, 152, and 154 weeks. This is the worst week I've ever had.
So just so people know what we're talking about, Josh and myself, we are the greatest American Fantasy Premier League players to ever play the game, and here we are just we just completed game week two of the 2015-2016 season, and Josh scored 19 points.
This is after winning the double last year, too.
The classic and the head-to-head in the always cheating league.
I did. It's like winning the league and the FA Cup. I won the double.
I mean, so you're in a calamitous crisis a la Chelsea right now. They're the reigning champs, and nothing is going to go right for you right now.
I lost the community shield to myself. It's a real disaster.
This is actually brings a little bit of parity into our 50 buck cup where Josh and I go head-to-head. So I was able to level the score this week. I beat you on a score of 47. I beat you quite handily.
I can't even, yeah, you beat me. I finished with, I mean, I can't even say it, actually. I finished with 19 points. That is, and I won't belabor every single one of the players on my team.
Where did it all go wrong?
Well, okay, so it went wrong at the start when I was picking my team, I think.
Picking your team at the before the season even started?
Before the season even started, right, exactly. I fell victim to received wisdom a little bit. You know, I had Harry Kane, even though he fell off down the stretch last year and just wasn't anybody I was particularly excited about having on my team this year, mostly because there's, like, basically no one to feed him the ball except for
Nacer Chadley.
Chadley, who played terribly in that game today. He actually scored a goal, but he still played bad. Chadley's one of those players who finds a way to... He's a bad soccer player, but a great fantasy player. It makes no sense.
It's true. And then you've got the great Dane Erickson, who should also be... I mean, by now, Kane and Erickson should be like John Stockton and Karl Malone.
I mean, if you looked at my team... I mean, it just... Okay, so I got 1 point from six different players. I had Ogbuna on West Ham, 1 point. Coates on.
We got confirmation from our resident Uruguayan Eric in the Always Cheating League that it is Coates.
Yep, 1 point from Cedric, 1 point from Azpilicueta. Now, Azpilicueta was not supposed to play, except Theo Walcott did not even make the team.
Thanks,
Fantasy Football Scott, for touting him and talking about how it was a dead cert that he was going to play.
Basically, bet the farm.
I've lost some respect for that site. Like, it's like they don't clearly. Actually, I shouldn't even say that. It was just a good reminder that nobody knows what they're talking about.
Yeah,
especially you.
Yeah, don't. Well, we are the two greatest Americans to play the Fantasy Premier League. So
we're like the pinball wizard. We play by intuition.
Yeah, the Walcott thing did work out for me in the end because George R. Russell Martin for Norwich City came in off the bench for me with an improbable goal.
Eight-point haul, right?
Yeah, 8 points.
I know, and I saw that coming, and I was watching the Arsenal game, and I thought, if I cannot believe Walcott may not come on. And I was waiting for that third sub, and I was like, I'm very happy to take my 1 point from Walcott here so that Brandon doesn't get eight from Russell Martin. And then they make the last sub, and I believe it was...
Kieran Gibbs.
Yeah, Kieran Gibbs.
Has anyone been happy to see Kieran Gibbs?
Oh, you must have been so thrilled.
Oh, I turned the TV off at that point. I was like, because I was actually in Philadelphia visiting my in-laws this weekend, and I would have to sequester myself, you know, on 10-minute spells to go watch these games. And then Gibbs came on, and I was like, well, job done.
I know. Unbelievable.
So I had one of those weeks where I got 47 points, which, you know, it's not a barn burner, but I am 3 points over the average.
Yeah, exactly. Given that the average is full of a lot of, like, what I would say are more recreational players. You know, I'm not saying that everyone at the top is lucky to be there or anything like that. But I think that a lot of the conventional choices
they should feel that way.
A lot of the conventional choices on the strategy sites, players who were expected to perform well did not. Not all of them, of course. I mean, a lot of people were touting David Silva, and he's performed well. And, you know, obviously you made the right choice with Christian Benteke. Are you worried about Jordan Henderson now?
Well, yeah, I am. For the captain who you expect to play 90 minutes every game for 38 games, and he's subbed off at the 51st minute, that definitely means he has a problem. Yeah. But I haven't seen any reports as to how serious it would be.
Yeah.
He wasn't limping off. He didn't look to be in extreme anguish emotionally.
That's some sort of foot issue, I think. Something in the bottom of his foot, I think, is what I saw.
So, listen. You know, last summer, I broke my big toe going off a rope swing.
Famously.
We're more than a year on now, and this toe is still bothering me. Now, I can imagine if I'm a professional athlete and I'm doing really crazy things with my feet all the time, mm-hmm. as soccer players do, mm-hmm. if he's got a niggling foot problem, that is a big worry to me, I think.
Yeah, it certainly could be. I mean, it felled Grant Hill during the best years of his career. Just to quickly walk through my diagnosis here, because I am obsessed with this, and then we can move on to.
Well, yeah, you basically saw the light this weekend. You had a near death experience, and what do we have to do to resuscitate you?
It was a true disaster. I mean, I'm in like 3 millionth place, and I finished 1530 last year, right? 1530 out of 3 million.
This was supposed to be your big year to break the top 100.
I was pushing, well, at least the top 1,000. That was the goal. It was top 1K, and then anything after that was gravy. I mean, I'll be lucky to get. I mean, I know it's early on, right? So, like, but it's gonna take so much time now. You know, it's gonna take 5 or 6 weeks. I gotta keep climbing. You know, there's no margin for error anymore.
Well, so philosophically, I mean, I know. You consistently do well in the game, but philosophically, do you believe it's down to just playing the game correctly? Or in this case, is it just down to bad luck and recognition that you can't control the outcome?
Well, in hindsight, my team had a lot more. It was more of a gamble than I gave it than I thought it was. You know, I think that I just gambled on a few too many players, and it really didn't pay off. I mean,
can you define gamble for some of our fellow managers out there?
A player who has the possibility for big returns, but is not a proven player. Maybe he moved to a new club, or they didn't perform well down the stretch, or, you know, the team is kind of reforming itself. The new, I don't know. There are certain players like Sergio Aguero, if he's healthy, he's going to score, right? But yeah. Harry Kane is a bit of a risk. I mean, we still don't.
Yeah, was his form last season an anomaly? And you can't forget that his form did tail off significantly at the end of last season.
It really did for the last 10 weeks or so. I mean, I know he scored in the last game of the season, but other than that, it was I think it was like 9 weeks of 2-point hauls.
And also his face has gotten longer over the summer somehow.
It is. It's more of a, it's got kind of a jack-o'-lantern-y or not jack-o'-lantern.
It's kind of like this. He looks a little bit like the Scream mask to me.
So I had Kane, who was a bit of a risk. I had Rooney, who's complete garbage and was all of last year. And that was another fantasy football scout nonsense decision that I made. I had Tridini, who did give me 4 points in the first week, but was obviously a huge risk. I mean, Watford, right? Who knows what they're bringing to the table?
Sure.
Raheem Sterling joined a new team, has not performed. Matt Ritchie, a bit of a risk. Theo Walcott, bit of a risk. Who knows if he's going to start?
Did you see that shot that Ritchie slammed against the post against Liverpool yesterday?
Yeah, he had two of those, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, oh, man.
So it was...
That's the thin margin.
I know, it would have softened the blow, at least. Looking back on it, it was a riskier team than I realized it was, and I didn't back it up with any kind of... If you're going to have a team that's risky, and again, I didn't think of it this way at the time, but now it seems this way, you need a couple of guys who are absolutely going to score points, right? Like, a Man U defender would have made sense.
Yeah.
I think, having David Silva in the team would have made a lot of sense. Even Jordan Henderson would have made more sense.
The smart money was on Liverpool this week. And I had one of those weird emotional days watching the Liverpool-Bournemouth game where, you made the right decisions. I had Henderson in the midfield and I had Captain Benteke. And so what better than a Henderson assist to Benteke for a goal in the first half?
From your captain.
Yeah. It doesn't get any better than that. But then suddenly you move into this mode of, well, feed the beast. I want more, more, more.
Yeah.
And then from there, Henderson gets subbed off 9 minutes before I'm going to get his 60th minute point and the clean sheet point.
Probably cost you 4 points.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was probably looking at some bonus points.
Yeah, he was on for two before he got subbed.
And then Benteke puts... basically a tap-in off the crossbar.
Yeah.
Which is just 8 points.
Which should have been ruled for offsides.
Well, the goal should have been offside. Are you saying the one that he missed and put off the post?
The one he scored should have been offside.
Yeah. So I should really thank my lucky stars that it turned out that way. But it was one of those really good days that felt weirdly like a bad day.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
it couldn't have felt that bad of a day, though. I mean, you got 9 points, you got a goal and 3 bonus points from your captain. I mean, that to me is never complain about that.
Yeah, I've got all green arrows this week, and I always love that. So, you had a terrible week, but could you find it in your heart to give somebody the MVP of the week?
there are no MVPs this week. And the LVP is me. So I am the least valuable player.
You're looking at the man in the mirror.
I wish, like, it almost would have been worth, like, trying to finish even worse, because it would have been fun to get an email from the fantasy, like, from the Premier League being like, can we help? Like, you're in last place overall. You're trying, like, anything we can do.
They could just take you on as a project.
And now I had to wild card. There was nothing I could do.
I'll have to insert a sound effect here. You're initiating wild card procedures.
It is just brutal. I've never wild carded this early. The problem was I was going to lose so much value in my players that I had to do it. And the players that I wanted to bring in, the value was rising. And there was just no reason not to wild card. I mean, other than to... I mean, sometimes it's like saving money, right? Like sometimes it's fun to save, and sometimes you just have to spend.
I gotta say, this is always the funnest part of the season too, when you see the values start to change, and you start playing that stock market aspect of the game.
Oh, it really is fun, exactly, and I think that.
And if you issue your wild card now, you're just collecting all the players. I guess the odds of a player actually going up enough for you to sell them off for additional money within 1 week is pretty slim.
Yeah, you can try to speculate a little bit. I mean, I think someone like you know, Marez is probably going to pick up three tenths of a million. But, you know, I think, you know, I mean, I'm planning to keep him for a while. So, that, you know, there's only the only player that I actually have in my wild card team, not that I'm going to go through every player, and I'm not even sure that I'm going to end up actually keeping him, is Nathan Redmond, who I thought might be able to, who might pick up a couple, you know, tenths. But actually, he's still listed at 5.5. So, you know, probably not going to pay off that little.
And is he playing close to 90 minutes every match, Nathan Redmond? I think I was looking at him earlier today, and he's subbed out at the 78th minute and maybe in the 82nd. So,
but still,
so that's good.
Yeah, exactly. He's the primary goal scorer, though, so I don't think anything's going to happen. And actually, the fixtures for Norwich over the next couple of weeks are you know, setting up pretty well.
Hey, go Canaries.
Yeah. So what about you? Do you have an MVP and LVP?
I do. I have a bit of a weird MVP this week, I think, in Mesut Ozil. I don't know if you watched any of the Arsenal Crystal Palace game.
I watched the second half. My Saturday was so bad that I just couldn't bring myself to.
So, you know, I, among many
especially
other
when people, I did wake up. Oh, sorry, I just interrupted.
Yeah, go ahead.
I did wake up and look at the team sheet and saw that Walcott was on the bench again, and promptly went back to sleep for an hour.
Tried to suffocate yourself with your pillow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, me and along with a slew of other people were slagging off Ozil last week for, that woeful team performance. But he was by far, in my mind, the best player on the field against Crystal Palace. And what he completed, 54 out of 55 passes or something crazy like that. I mean, he all but completed one pass during the entire match. And he looked up for it.
It's an Ozil we haven't really seen before. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's like the Ozil we saw his first week 2 years ago. I remember when he set, like, I think he had three assists in his first game or something like that. It was some, or at least two. I mean, you know, he was just dominant at the play. And you were like, oh my God, Arsenal is going to win the league this year. Like, Ozil is going to have 40 assists. He matches up so well with their attacking midfielders, and then he just completely went away.
Yeah. So having him on my fantasy team, you want to see that response to a really bad week, and it gives me faith to keep him on board for the time being.
Sure.
Who's my loser of the week? Well, I mean, Benteke brought in the most points for me, but, you know, listen, I need at least two goals from you at home against Bournemouth.
Well, I mean, you know, Bournemouth isn't supposed to. Who knows with Bournemouth anymore? I mean, so they've lost 2-1-0 games. You know, I don't know. I think
Benteke did look really good in that match. He had great control on the ball, and he was getting the opportunities. So let's see, who else can I? Oh, this Cedric.
I thought you were kidding about this Benteke thing. This is crazy. You got 9 points doubled from Benteke. That is. You're talking to a guy who got, like, you actually equaled my score, -1, for all 11 of my players from one player.
What about this Cedric Suarez guy on Southampton? He's starting out at, left back? No, right back. He's at right back, yeah. And
he's out of the new team.
Yeah.
Okay, and actually, so do you want to get to our three games? Actually?
Yeah, so let's do it, and I guess we can start with... So the Friday fixture was Villa Man U. We really don't need to get into that because we already went over the fact that Rooney was hot garbage. Yeah. But United ended up pulling that one out 1-0. So we want to look at Southampton hosting Everton. And this game is noted because it was Everton's sort of opening statement on the season. And Lukaku was the breakout player. He's probably going to be making it into a lot of wildcard teams this week.
Yeah, which to me feels very risky because, you know, I am a bit of, I mean, it's like the classic question of form over fixtures. And it's obviously not like, it's not totally one way or the other in terms of, like, I don't come down exactly one way or the other. But if you look at the next few games for Everton, it is
pretty
grim.
They host Man City in next week, and then they have... They're away at Spurs. Then they host Chelsea. Then they're away at Swansea.
West Brom, which isn't an easy place to play. Home to Liverpool, home to Man United, away to Arsenal.
Yeah, that is rough. And definitely, particularly if you're looking at an Everton defender.
Yeah, to me, I would not be picking up an Everton defender.
Because I was looking at Galway, who is a 4.5 starting defender for Everton on account of Leighton Baines being out. And he looked pretty sharp in the Southampton game, but I can see them conceding every week for the next 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, maybe not against West Brom, but...
Yeah. I think that, you know, Lukaku and Barkley could prove me wrong. I mean, 2 years ago when Everton almost nipped a Champions League spot, those were the...
By the way, not to jump on you here, but I do love how Ross Barkley is pronounced almost uniformly as Ross Barkley, because we are always talking about the Barclays Premier League.
It's true. So, I mean, those two guys are both interesting. Now, obviously, Barkley is only... 6.6. So he's gone up a tenth.
Which yeah, man. And he's looked hot. I mean, he's a good looking man, but form wise, he's looked very hot the last 2 weeks. And that goal he had to close out the victory against Southampton was so well taken.
Yeah, I don't think that he is a player that I will be bringing in right now. Those fixtures are just too daunting for me. I mean, you know, I could see. I mean, looking at the okay, so. Man City at home, I mean, you wouldn't expect that. You wouldn't expect... Man City's defense looks really good right now. I mean, Vincent Kompany is, you know...
Yeah, that whole team is functioning as a uniform or just as a fully functioning organism.
Yeah. The away at Tottenham, they could definitely score. I mean, Tottenham is hot, sweaty garbage, and...
I can smell them over here in Brooklyn.
I am still a little bitter about Hugo Lloris conceding two goals at the end of that game. What was I thinking, bringing in a Tottenham defender? I mean, oh God, it's across the board mistakes.
I was watching that game, and you could see the tide turning in Stoke's favor midway through that second half, and weirdly, when Stephen Ireland comes on, it was sort of like the breaking point, and if you were watching this game, were you even surprised that they let in those two goals? Because they just felt like they were coming.
I actually, when they subbed Kane out, I stopped watching. I turned to, I think, the Watford game, which was actually a pretty good game, despite being 0-0. I just couldn't. Once Kane was subbed off, I was mad. I knew my week was just looking really bad, and nothing good was happening across the board.
And what kind of substitution was that from Pochettino.
Yeah, we're going to get some more. Actually, the last podcast, we got a bunch of emails from people telling us how badly we mispronounce like everything. So I'm sure we're going to get killed for that one.
So too. Pikachu subs Kane out. What in like the sixth? How many minutes did you get? He was subbed out weirdly early.
Yeah, it was like the 64th minute or something like that. It was way too early for a team that has no strikers.
So the reason given was that it didn't look like that Pikachu didn't think that Kane could go the distance. He said he was tired. I mean, do you buy that? I feel like that's him just covering his ass.
He didn't look good. You know, he had one moment. You never know with him how much of it's like it'd be so interesting to see him in a top side. You know, like a top four club. Like I don't know what would he look like in Arsenal? Like couldn't he basically just do what Giroud does, but maybe a little bit better? Is he better than Giroud? I mean, it's so hard to know.
This is the question of the season.
Yeah, it's very hard to evaluate Harry Kane still, despite the fact that he scored something like 3 million goals last year, like give or take a couple goals. who knows.
So you're not going to stick with Kane, I assume.
No, Kane was gone Sunday morning.
And then, so let's see, Spurs fixtures coming up. They are away to Leicester, which Leicester is in great form, but they are leaking goals in the back.
Brandon, it doesn't matter. I wouldn't take it. There was not a single player on Tottenham that I would rate at the moment.
Yeah.
Even Christian Eriksen, who did have an assist.
Yeah.
Or did he score a goal? And I think he said an assist, right? I can't remember now.
Yeah, no goal for Eriksen, which would be a great name for a fantasy team.
No goal for Eriksen. That sounds like a college rock band, doesn't it?
Yeah, like a math rock band.
Yeah. That is a really heartbreaking team. I mean, I am an Arsenal fan, so it may sound like I'm giving them some stick here. But this Tottenham team is just—it's got to be so frustrating as a Tottenham fan to watch them. I mean, it's just—it's so full of these like B players, you know? Like they have so little top talent. I mean, to see Eric Lamella come on for Hurricane, a player who has done nothing. Yeah, it's got to be dreadful.
He is awful. But then on the flip side, Stoke. What did you take away from Stoke? Because Armatovic getting all three bonus points and scoring that penalty kick, he still doesn't look quite like the real thing. He was one of their biggest threats going forward, but he was the victim of he was his own victim of some bad decision making and some poor final touches.
He always seems threatening. Like he looks like Tom Hardy. You know, he's like this big, like, bruiser who runs around the pitch looking like he's going to do damage, and then he just doesn't. He skies it over the bar, and he is not in the right position, or, you know, as the touch betrays him. Like, there's just – that guy is not a player who I would have in my fantasy team.
Yeah, but Diouf, we saw him score some delightful goals last season, notably against Man City. He's – pretty cheap at 6.5.
Yeah, he's an interesting player. He's someone that that may end up in the wild card team. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, and Stoke's got some nifty fixtures coming up. Away to Norwich, then they host West Brom, and then they
are the energy that you've played with, right? I mean, didn't you think that he was the best player on the pitch?
Yeah, he was not letting up at all. And when he finally got his goal, his headed goal from Stephen Ireland's cross, you could tell he earned it. And he was disappointed he hadn't put one in earlier in the game.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the second game. Did we need to say anything more about Southampton? I know we kind of skipped past the first game.
Yeah, we do need to say a lot about Southampton. So I was mentioning earlier our good friend Cedric Suarez, who is in both of our teams, Suarez. He's a 5.0 defender. Southampton renowned last season for having a watertight defense. No leakage there.
And bit of a template team defender, would you say?
Yes, seems definitely.
Like a lot of the teams.
Yeah, he was top of all the recommendation lists at Fantasy Football Scout. And pretty much everyone has him. He fits in that sweet budget spot.
I need a break from that site. I need a nice 2 or 3 week break.
Yeah, I think you need a break from a few things. FPL. You need to just focus on the family. You focus just on your own team for a little bit.
Go look at some birds.
Yeah.
I did see a cedar waxwing this morning. That was pretty exciting.
But as far as Soros goes, I don't think he's looked very good in either of these games. He was subbed out early on in game week one. He played the full 90 against Everton, but he was totally pasted by Lukaku in the first half and could not keep up with him.
And it's about to get much worse because they play in the Europa League this year.
Yeah, so I guess that's the big worry, right? And their midfield is looking weirdly thin at Southampton right now. They're definitely missing Schneiderlin. Wanyama's trying to pick up a lot of that slack right now. But I don't know. I think Graziano Pelle still looks like a pretty decent option up front. He will be seeing a lot of opportunities. And they do have pretty decent fixtures coming up, Southampton.
Yeah, I don't know that I have a defender right now. When Ryan Bertrand comes back, it might be interesting. I mean, the defensive team that we loved last year, you know, was really dominated by those wingbacks.
Yeah, Klein and Bertrand, who they are really missing right now.
Yeah,
I mean, so, Maya Yoshida can only do so much.
He really looks like he's trying hard out there. But you have Yoshida, you have Matt Target, who's 20 years old.
He's 4.0 though. I mean, I assume as soon as Bertrand is healthy, though, what's the outlook for Bertrand?
I don't think it's that much longer. I think it's only 2 or 3 weeks. So, yeah.
How terrible the Southampton defense has looked, it's probably not worth the risk for Target just for three weeks of clean sheets.
And they lost Morgan Schneiderlin, you know, their dominant defensive midfielder. So they're missing three of the. Well, actually, they're missing Fraser Forrester, too, who's their starting goalkeeper.
Yeah.
So four of the six that dominated last year are not currently playing on that Southampton defense.
Yes.
This is not the team that they were last year. They should get better eventually, but it won't be soon. Yeah.
Throw in a few Europa trips to the Czech Republic, and that team is totally fucked.
Yeah, exactly. Again, listen to the way I'm talking about this. 19 points, Brandon. I can't get over it.
It's like Michael Caine. She was only 16.
I mean, I wonder what the average score is of an auto-picked team. If you just auto-picked your whole team and you were 2 weeks in, you might have double the points I have.
Well, we'll have to compare it against James Cook's shadow team.
Yeah, we will.
Just to skip over some of these fixtures, you got Sunderland Norwich with my man George R. Russell Martin with the big goal there, and Sunderland. I'm sure everyone's going to be investing in Sunderland. They look god awful.
Yeah, that defense. Oh my goodness.
Coates, he's going out of the team.
He's already out. My first wildcard team, I transferred out 12 players. Out of 15, 12 are gone, and it may end up being all 15. I mean, there's a good chance that there's not a single player that stays on my team through this
one. Oh man, that is extreme punishment. Swansea, we have to keep up on our tracking of Shelvey versus Awu.
It's true. Yeah,
I thought I had one on you there
somewhere. Yep.
But of course, Awu comes back and he gets a goal. So you're beating me out there in the war of the Awu Shelvey war right now.
Yeah, we should put $50 on that too.
And only this week did I realize that Awu, this Andre Awu, not Jordan Awu, his brother at Villa, is the Awu who scored on the U.S. in the opening World Cup match this year.
Is that right?
Yeah. What? I mean, to no avail. We still crushed Ghana 2-1, as as it should have been. But that makes me like him just a little bit less.
That's true. I mean, I still like him more than... All right, I definitely like him more than Asamoah Gyan, who scored against us in the 2010.
Oh, yeah. Yes, no.
But then missed a penalty against Uruguay on the intentional handbite from...
And it put him in tears. Put him in tears.
You know what?
Sweet tears.
I said intentional handbite instead of handball, because I was thinking of Luis Suarez, and I guess my brain just wants to say the word bite whenever I think of Luis Suarez. But the intentional handball from Suarez.
All right, we've got a 0-0 draw with Watford, West Brom, and then Leicester still on a roll, 2-1 to West Ham. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, West Ham falling from grace from their victory against Arsenal last week. And then
your transfer worked out pretty well.
Yeah, exactly. My Reese Oxford. I mean, you know, I did make money on him. I made 0.1 million on him, despite not getting any points. So there's that.
Yeah, that could come in handy later on.
he could turn into a solid. You know, when I inevitably play my bench boost, Reese Oxford will factor into that.
They should just call it the Oxford boost. Really, it's what it's for.
I mean, it was too tempting to not bring in a West Ham player after them stomping all over Arsenal, and Oxford was really the only one that I could afford without totally corrupting my team.
Yeah, and the thing, he's actually the only one of the prospects who didn't produce points, I think. If you had kind of any of the other...
Yeah, well, Hyatt and Karate, Zarate.
Sacco still hasn't scored, which is a little surprising.
Yeah, I suppose it is. I don't know, hindsight is 20/20, Josh, but I had a gut feeling about Sacco going into this season. I mean, maybe he'll prove me wrong, but...
Gotta trust that gut. And now Adrian is out, unless they... has the appeal gone through yet?
It has. It was denied.
Oh, it was? Okay. I mean, it was right in front of the judge, so I don't, you know, there was really no chance of it getting appealed.
Yeah, shades of Netherlands versus Spain in the World Cup final, right?
Would you bring in the West Ham goalkeeper? Who is their goalkeeper? It's Randolph. He's at 4.5, so not really worth it. If you were 4.0, maybe it'd be something you'd think about.
Yeah, I guess you're just looking at 3 weeks to play that keeper. And yeah, if he was 4.0, but at 4.5, you can bring in a regular starter like Brad Guzan.
If you were really confident that you were going to wild card like in game week 6 it would actually be worth doing because they have a home game against Bournemouth, and then 2 weeks later they have a home game against Newcastle.
I think you're right about that. But West Ham is going to be – I'm sorry, what?
I just said hard to project.
Yeah, it is. West Ham is always going to be that team where you obviously showing in the first 2 weeks, you don't know what you're going to get. You're going to get the bad with the good.
Takes the good, you take the bad. I agree.
You just took a moment to sing the Facts of Life theme song to yourself in your head there?
I thought you were going to go further than that. And you just sort of ended it and you were like, I was waiting for you to say more.
Streaks on the China. They never met him before. Who cares?
I guess I better say something here. There's a lot, we have to add some room tone to that. It's like a good 8 second pause.
Okay, so we kind of touched on Arsenal Crystal Palace with my love fest over Mesut Ozil. Very happy with how his game turned out. Giroud had a really nice goal there. You know, he looked like he kind of slipped. Looked a little fluky with that slip.
Yeah, I guess he's the man. It looks like he's going to be starting indefinitely. I don't know why he wouldn't. I mean, the Arsenal team looks like they've... I don't know why I call them the Arsenal team. Arsenal looks like they're starting to, you know, round themselves into shape. I mean, it's you know, Alexis hasn't even worked his way into the lineup yet.
Yeah, and he looked pretty hungry. I mean, that leap he had for the headed assist for own goal was super athletic. As
I saw one of those rumors that's like almost certainly not true, that Zlatan may be in a possible Arsenal transfer target. can you imagine if I think they would actually win the league if they had Zlatan. I mean, can you imagine them ever going a game without scoring? I mean, even if he didn't score in every game, like, they would have to zero in on him so much that it would open things up so much for Alexis.
I don't know. I haven't seen a whole lot of Zlatan playing, but I get the sense that he's a guy who's me, and you put him in the center of that Arsenal midfield that relies so much on fluid movement that it would collapse in on itself.
But I think you would just slot him right into the Giroud role. Giroud role.
Post him up under the basket for 90 minutes.
That's what they do with Giroud, basically, right? He's like a big, tall guy who heads the ball down and, you know, knocks it off for Sandy Cazorla to knock.
Yeah, I just don't think he'd be satisfied with that kind of role.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think he'd be able to do more than that in that role, but you know, maybe. Nah, I don't know. It'd be interesting. I think that they find a way to work him in.
I would love it. Listen, all these other European leagues are having all the fun with the greatest players in the world. I love all these rumors about, is Messi going to Chelsea? Is Ronaldo coming back to Man United? I would love for that to happen. I want to see these guys in the Premier League.
Yeah, and it's not like Arsenal is such a complete, perfect team that adding someone like Zlatan would ruin their delicate chemistry. I mean, it's like the delicate chemistry in Arsenal is a third and fourth place team chemistry. I mean, this is a team that could very much use a fiery, kind of dangerous spark.
Well, I think they have that. I think they have that in Alexis.
They do, but Alexis isn't. I don't know. I feel like he still puts his head down a little bit. You know, I'm not sure that Alexis is the inspirational leader.
Now, what I'm not saying that I'm not saying that Arsenal is such a fabulous team and that the balance is so crucial to that. I'm saying that the balance that they have is the only thing that's keeping them as a good team. And if you were to upset that balance, they could drop to fifth place.
I don't agree with that, because I think that with Alexis and with Mesut Ozil and Aaron Ramsey and Sandy Cazorla and a lot of very strong defenders and a great goalkeeper, even though he hasn't shown it this year, I think, you know, I don't know. To me, they're still a striker away from being the top club.
Well, we'll have to leave it at that.
Let's see.
Find us at Hail Cheaters on Twitter if you want to join the conversation.
Oh, good. What do you think he would be priced at if they brought Zlatan into the league? I think it would have to be at least...
he'd be 11.5.
No, I think he'd be 13. I think he'd be a Sergio Aguero price.
I think that guys only get the $13 million price tag after a season's worth of points.
I think you're really underrating Zlatan here, but you have not seen him play in Paris the way I have.
I forgot that you were on a real-life scouting mission.
I did. I saw him in the... I saw he scored a brace in the game that I saw.
So I guess Arsenal's defense is still a little worrying. Per Mertesacker, no, that guy should be done.
I'm not sure he's.
He needs the John Terry treatment.
I imagine he may not be surviving your wild card whenever you do play it.
Speaking of the John Terry treatment, the last game we want to feature here is the big one, Man City versus Chelsea, in which City throttled Chelsea 3-0 with Kompany, Fernandinho, and Aguero all scoring.
Yeah, and I don't know that there's too much. I mean, I'm sure there is a lot to talk about in this game. It feels like it's been talked over, maybe just because I've read so much about it already.
Well, there's not much left to say as far as the match goes, but fantasy-wise, what strikes me is, at least if you look in our 17-person mini-league, there is a Man City-sized hole in every single manager's team. Nobody counted Man City in when they were first building their teams before the season started.
It's just a tough start to the year. They didn't have Aguero. They played Chelsea in week two. They're away at Everton in week three. I mean, I at least personally, I was definitely just planning to bring them in, you know, starting in game week four. Maybe even planning
which is the out. That Watford game, right?
Yeah, exactly. But then, they came. They started the season like a house on fire.
They sure did. Let it burn. They just want to watch the whole league burn.
Some people just want to watch the league burn, and those people are Mancunians.
So what I'm curious about most with City are the defensive assets, because you have the possibility of a lot of rotation in the back, because they have such a weird lineup of defenders, and Clichy's coming back from injury, and he was a sometime starter last season. Kolarov is known as being kind of a streaky player.
Well, this is the first time in years that Vincent Kompany has been priced at a rate that you could actually reasonably like think about bringing him in. I think he's been like, he started the season at Leighton Bain level prices the last couple of years. I think he was maybe 7 million both years.
Yeah.
And that Man City team did not keep, they barely kept any clean sheets all of last year.
Yeah, and Kompany was kind of a yellow card factory as well.
He had probably his worst season, certainly his worst season as a Blue. And now he looks great. Obviously, he scored in the first two games, which does kind of skew things a little bit. But, I mean, he's not going to keep that up. He looks really solid. And at $6 million, it is really tempting to bring him in.
Yeah, I think the biggest decision that's going to have to be made for a lot of managers is whether to make room for Silva or whether to slot in Yaya Toure at 8.5 versus 10.
I know. The problem is Yaya Toure doesn't play as well when Aguero's back.
Yeah.
So, you know, it seems a little riskier now. Although he looked pretty good in week two. I mean, he could have scored a couple of times.
That crazy Men in Blazers has been memefying this, but that scene of Joe Hart with the goal kick trying to orchestrate the team positioning, and he's just screaming at Yaya with his arms up in the air, just screaming, Yaya, Yaya! It was terrifying, and it also gave me the impression that Yaya Toure doesn't listen to or give a shit about anybody else on the field. That was my personal read.
I think that's kind of his MO, right? And he's like, I think he's like 31, so it's not going to change.
Yeah, yeah. So that's it. That's your game week two, Liverpool beating Bournemouth 1-0. We all know my feelings about Christian Benteke at this point.
The loser of the week.
Yeah, I mean, come on, his big Belgian buddy, Romelu Lukaku, is over there steamrolling Southampton away from home.
To me, this is Brandon. This is like one of those like you. This is why you can't have nice things moment. You got to just appreciate the 9 points doubled.
This week has not been about the Premier League for me ever since last Thursday. I think, like you, I have Poku fever.
We had a great time at that Man City game.
It was we had a great time at the NYCFC game.
Oh, did I say? God, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, we did. We had a great time at the NYCFC game last week with our good buddy Mike, who bought us tickets. Well, he didn't buy us tickets. We're going to have to reimburse him at some point, I'm sure.
We should get around to that.
So NYCFC took on DC United, which is they're the top team in MLS right now, and they looked terrible, and NYCFC looked really awesome.
They looked like world beaters. It was not to get on too much of a tangent here, but It was incredible. I mean,
Pirlo looked like he was having a good time.
David Villa was fantastic. Scored a great goal, and Poku controlled the field. He was everywhere.
He did. Every time the ball dropped into the middle of the midfield, Poku got it. And he, after several attempts, scored a goal late in the game, and that crowd at Yankee Stadium went bananas.
Including us.
Yeah.
Everyone had Poku fever.
So we're going to ride that Poku wave into game week 3. Should we run down these fixtures for game week 3, see what we're thinking?
Let's do a quick, like a minute or so on each.
So why does United has had the opening game for the first 3 weeks here, which I don't know if the broadcasters were banking on United being one of the crappiest, most boring teams this season.
Yeah, I heard about the Friday game. Apparently, the Friday game actually wasn't planned, but there was some sort of protest going on in Aston Villa, like a planned protest. That they needed the police presence for.
Was it because of the ownership issues, maybe?
No, I think it was totally unrelated to football. It was just there was some protest going on, and it was like something planned. I'm not really sure what it was for. Probably should know that before I started telling this anecdote. but they and they didn't want to play, so they couldn't play on Saturday, and they didn't. Man U didn't want to play on Sunday because they had their Champions League qualifier today. So they decided to play on Friday. And so it actually wasn't a sneak peek at next year or, you know, when there's supposed to be 10 Friday fixtures. It was just a random game that worked out because of a police presence and just a sheer luck, really.
This is a little bit like podcasting, right? Like, well, I can't do it this way, this day. Can you do it this day? Well, maybe I can do it this day.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think if Wayne Rooney had scored in that game and me not having him captain, I actually might be in last place.
I couldn't believe how many people captained Wayne Rooney against Villa. I mean, that Villa's any good, but...
He's been so bad. What was the last good game Wayne Rooney had? I mean, it must be like in like January of last year, or of this year. Like, it has to be at least 7 months since he's like a really solid game.
I really couldn't say, Josh.
Well, why don't you just research it? We'll pause the podcast. You can go hand it down.
So, United Newcastle. I guess United is going to have another clean sheet because Newcastle stinks. They lost Janmaat to a red card, who is kind of their best defensive player right now.
I almost wonder if that was one of those like fuck this red cards.
I think so. Like I don't want to be here anymore.
Exactly.
I totally believe it.
Yeah.
So that's the early morning kickoff on Saturday. Then the round of 10 o'clock fixtures Eastern Standard Time. Crystal Palace hosts Aston Villa. Not a terribly romantic fixture, but Selhurst Park, you have to favor the Crystal Palace defense here.
Yeah, I thought Crystal Palace looked okay in that Arsenal game.
They did.
They were fighting on the stretch. I don't know.
Put another bowling ball past Peter Cech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Kabay is still interesting there. Who was the guy who played in Sunderland last year? Who they just transferred the forward?
Connor Wickham.
Connor Wickham. What? Why did they bring him in exactly?
I don't know. He stinks.
He does stink. What am I missing with that guy?
Why didn't they get Darren Fletcher?
I really have no idea.
Well, Darren Fletcher has got to be on astronomical wages.
Oh, yeah. Big money. Big bucks. I don't know what he's on a week, but I'm sure it's a lot.
Then we've got also at 10 o'clock, Leicester hosting Spurs. This is a really interesting matchup because Leicester is on fire right now. Spurs is struggling.
Best team in the league. Excuse me. Best team in the league right now versus a dumpster fire. should be very interesting.
So Hugo Lloris is not going to get the start in your wild card squad?
He was one of the 11 that were transferred out.
So you were telling me the other day you had heard a rumor about if David De Gea leaves United that Hugo Lloris might go to Spurs or might go to United?
There had been some talk about this, but you know, now it looks like De Gea is going to stay. So you know, who knows what's going to happen?
I'm probably the first one to make that joke.
Some sort of handshake agreement with Daniel Levy and Lloris that if a Champions League club came calling, he would release him. I don't know. You know, this is all like stuff you read in The Guardian, and who knows if it's true.
Yeah. Another weirdly intriguing fixture is Norwich versus Stoke.
It is kind of an intriguing fixture. I thought Stoke looked really good in the Spurs game.
They
Norwich
did. They got organized. They were able to move the ball pretty smoothly in the midfield in the second half.
Yeah, and Norwich obviously played well away to Sunderland. How much of that was them and how much of that was Sunderland is anybody's guess.
Will Nathan Redmond make it 3 for 3?
I know. Oh, I had that. Oh.
I'm going to declare it now. If he goes 3 for 3, I will only refer to Nathan Redmond as Nene for the rest of the season.
Yeah, not Redman?
No, like, not Redman, Nene.
Actually, Redman was not in the Wu-Tang Clan, right? Wasn't he just friends with the Wu-Tang Clan?
Yeah, he was best buds with Method Man. He was those deodorant commercials with
him. But he's not actually in the Wu-Tang Clan.
That is correct.
Okay, all right. All right, then looks like Sunderland-Swansea is the next game.
Yeah, so wild-carding it up with Swansea people, I'm sure.
It'd be hard not to have at least a Swansea player in this game. Gomis looks fantastic.
He does, yeah. They're really playing to, it seems like the team is playing to Gomis' strengths.
We were running him down a little bit in the last podcast because he was offsides like 8,000 times in that Chelsea game, Game Week 1.
Yeah, but which is always worrying. You want your lead man to be a little savvier than that.
Yeah, it's hard not to just go overboard and bring in like 2 or 3 Swansea players based on how well how strong they've looked, at least the offense. But, there's certainly going to be a Swansea player on my team in the wild card, and there may be 2. Kind of depends. I think that their fixture list is okay.
It's okay. I mean, they have United following in game week 4, but after that, Swansea, they've got their away to Watford, then they host Everton.
So, they're a team to keep an eye on, and I know Gary Monk is a lot of people are really, really respect the work he's doing right now, and it makes me wonder, because Gary Monk is such a Swansea guy. If he keeps this up, teams are going to have to come calling, right? I mean, it wouldn't be a surprise, like, to see, I don't know, where do you go from Swansea? I mean, maybe Spurs. I was thinking Liverpool, but would Liverpool, if they got rid of Brendan Rodgers, would they bring in another Swansea?
No, they would bring in Jurgen Klopp.
If that happens, I actually may have to switch allegiances from...
Liverpool basically gets to have all the fun. their team often struggles. They have all the best drama.
They're like the Chicago Cubs. I mean, it's just more fun to be a fan of that club than any other club.
Yeah. But yeah, Brian Phillips, to give a little plug to Brian Phillips, he had this article on Grantland this week about the not crisis at Arsenal. Mm-hmm. And the article was really great at articulating how mediocre the crisis always is at Arsenal and how unfun it is to get worked up about that team ever. Because nothing truly bad ever happens to them. It's usually more good than bad. But the expectations at Arsenal, not that there aren't a huge level of expectations at Liverpool, but they just seem to be a little more fluid at Liverpool as Arsenal.
I was listening to some podcast. It was one of the many last week where they were basically, the 7 Premier League podcasts that I listen to, which is just way too many for a grown man to listen to. They were all running down Arsenal in different ways. But there's about how we all bought the hype, and then in hindsight, you're like, what did they do? It's like, oh yeah, they just brought in a goalkeeper. Everyone was oh yeah, they brought in a goalkeeper. Clearly, everything is now taken care of. It wasn't like there were a ton of games last year where
David Ospina.
Where Ospina, I don't know.
He single-handedly won that Chelsea game for them by decapitating Oscar.
Exactly. There weren't that many goals that he let, and I think he had a really bad game against Monaco in the Champions League, but he wasn't terrible in the Premier League. So this idea that Cech was going... I mean, obviously, defending is more about... or being a goalkeeper is more than about just saves, but I mean, God, at the moment, I mean, he's maybe already cost them one game and, what did you think about the Crystal Palace goal? Did he?
I referred to it as a bowling ball earlier, and though it was hit with real pace, I'm saying this from a fantasy manager point of view, but it looked like he could have got down faster. He just sort of flopped out there like a big old salmon.
Yeah, it's hard to... I mean, it seems like he's too far along as in his career to be to have nerves, but I mean,
yeah, I think that is accurate. I would not want to disparage Peter Cech's ability, which has been proven time and time again. But yeah, he does look like he doesn't know if he fits in or not.
I mean, the funny thing is, like, he's bald. He seems very mature. Like, he's like a cagey veteran. He's 33 years old. I mean, he's literally my age. Like, he's like, you're older than him.
Yes, I am older than Peter Cech.
He looks like he's 50. I mean, he looks a good 20 years older than he is.
He really does. And I'm sure wearing that little helmet doesn't help his hairline. Just rubbing against his scalp constantly. Anyway, we got sidetracked there. But we still have one more of the 10 o'clock Eastern time fixtures here. West Ham hosting Bournemouth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would love to see Bournemouth have this be their breakout game and totally wax West Ham.
At least score a goal. Yeah. Right? I would love to see a goal come out of this game for Bournemouth. Not for Matt Ritchie, because he has also been dropped in my wild card.
I'm just mentioning the name of any player in the Premier League.
If we're talking about a team that's had a bad start to the year, they have a player that I have since dropped on the team.
Okay. Moving on to Sunday, we've got West Brom hosting Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we would pick this game as the game where Chelsea exercises their demons from the first 2 weeks, right?
Well,
maybe.
Typically. I mean, it's actually not a great game for them, though. I mean, you just don't necessarily – I mean, you don't want to count on – you don't want to count against a Tony Pulis defense, right? I mean, Tony Pulis at home. The West Brom defense has been tight, you know. They held the line against a Watford team that really looked like they were going to score last Saturday. I mentioned before that I watched a fair amount of that game. It was actually pretty tense and close for a 0-0 game.
Yeah.
Boaz
Myhill is such a great sleeper keeper. Yeah. With Ben Foster being out,
yeah,
Myhill starts and...
He's a save machine, too.
He is a save machine. All of his points are going to come from saves because he's not going to get as many clean sheets as, say, Joe Hart is.
Right.
But, yeah, definitely worth a look there. And I guess the only Chelsea player you'd want to look at right now is Eden Hazard.
Yeah, and really even then, it's because you don't want to have to do major surgery later on to bring him back in.
Yeah, the famous slow start.
He seemed to come on a little bit at the end of the Man City game. It felt like he was pushing for a goal. I mean, I think once it was 3-0, they kind of,
yeah,
you know, the game was really over. But, you know, when it was 1-0 and 2-0, it felt like he was still really trying to make something happen.
Yeah, and I don't think he looked too terrible against Swansea in the opening week. I think my psychological read on it is he is... he's too much of a nice guy team player to want to do it all himself. So he gets trapped in this, do I want to just dribble around everyone and shoot it? Or do I want to dribble around everyone and pass it?
And Diego Costa, he's on penalties, but Diego Costa is making it so much worse because I'm not sure that Diego Costa has even taken a shot on goal this season. It's like that guy just gets into the box and the lightest touch, he falls to the ground and then starts pounding the ground in rage.
He does the classic UFC ground and pound.
I mean, he's not even playing, he's barely playing football at this point. He is playing some sort of weird Jose Mourinho sport that involves, he's just playing for penalties. I mean, it is so weird. And it's like, the more that they don't call penalties on him, the more he flops. It's like he has to just get one. He has to earn one penalty, and then he can move on with his life or something. It's really embarrassing right now. Watching Diego Costa play is actually kind of embarrassing. is this the man who scored seven goals in the first?
I know his finishing was so stellar at the beginning of the last season. So
that Everton game, yeah. Last year that 6-3,
which was such a great game. When are we gonna? I remember that Everton Chelsea game, and we all were like, "Yes, this is the first great game of the season." What a game that was! So, hopefully, we'll get a game like that this coming week or week following. So that's the first Sunday fixture, West Brom Chelsea. Then that's followed by Everton hosting Man City.
Mm-hmm.
So is Everton totally steamrolled Southampton, but Man City is the form team. So I don't know. Everton probably is going to get felled by some small degree here.
Yeah, they looked so good in that Southampton game, but Man City looks I'm really excited about.
They were probably sorry to talk over you, but I think they were probably a little flattered by Southampton, right?
Yeah, this may be like get the gang together to watch these Sunday games because they're kind of interesting.
Yeah, gang, yeah. If you're listening, let's get together.
Anybody, if you're listening, let's get together. Just come on over to Mom's house. So I think I'm really excited about this game. I genuinely don't know who is going to win. I mean, it seems like you would think Man City, but Everton used to be Man City's bogey team. You know, it used to be that Everton was the one team that could beat Man City. And maybe that was just a statistical, quirk.
Okay, here's
that was before Roberto Martinez was even the manager there. So who knows?
So here's my prediction. Everyone who owns Ross Barkley will get 1 point from this game. Lukaku, if Everton scores, Lukaku will score, but more than likely he will have a serviceable 90 minutes.
How about maybe an assist with a yellow card?
Lukaku will have an assist and a yellow card, and his assist will be Kevin Morales, who comes on for a distraught Ross Barkley.
I think the assist will be one of those like it's like a bad touch that somebody like kicks off his foot.
He tries to knee it into the goal and it bounces off of his thigh and Morales does some crazy scissor kick.
Yeah. All right, we gotta move this along.
I'm having too much fun with my predictions. This is so visual. Okay, so then we got Watford, Southampton. Who cares?
I know these teams. That is a depressing game at the moment.
And then Arsenal, Liverpool. Who cares?
That's Monday. That's like a take the day off of work kind of game right there.
I will not be able to concentrate at work at all. But a tough one fantasy-wise because the two teams look like they'll be pretty well matched. I mean, hopefully Jordan Henderson is able to start this game because he could be the linchpin for Liverpool because they'll need to control the ball in the midfield to stand up to Arsenal, I think.
Yeah, that could really change the game. That's a really, really interesting game. I think, there are some really good matchups this week, games worth watching, and that one's right at the top. So, interesting week.
All right, great. So does that do it for game week two?
I think so. So if you if you're still listening, which you probably aren't, follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters. That's no space between the two.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are at Facebook at Always Cheating and Instagram. Do we have any pictures up on Instagram yet?
I think we have like two.
Oh, nice. So we're Hail Cheaters at Instagram as well. And you'll find our podcast, subscribe at iTunes, and we're going to try to also get the podcast up on a few other providers. So stay tuned for more information on that. If you need to do anything, we'll let you know.
All you Stitcher fans.
All you big Stitcher fans, you Stitcher heads out there. So subscribe, comment, and you can also leave us a note on our website at alwayscheating.com. And also at our website, alwayscheating.com, you can join our own Always Cheating public mini league, which will come up on your FPL site as Hail Cheaters. So
we started a little bit late, so don't be intimidated by the fact that there are
it's just me and Josh,
three people.
we'll scrutinize your every move, you poor soul that actually joins our league. But come on, join, and it will grow from there, and it'll be a lot of fun.
That's right.
So we'd love your participation. Thanks for listening, and poku forever.
Poku to you, Brendan.
All right, see you, Josh.